The mainstream media tried to save face after the Rittenhouse trial. A man rams through a crowd of participants at a Christmas parade, and COVID deaths are higher than they have ever been. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. I first of all just want to thank everybody that listens or watches the show for supporting me this entire time, however long you've been listening or watching. This is the 100th episode, so I've been doing this for about a year now, so this is kind of a big landmark, if you will, thinking about it like that. But regardless of where you came from, I just thank you for listening, watching, whether that's on Rumble, YouTube, Gab TV, or any of the podcast platforms, you name it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening as well. Really appreciate your support. And looking forward to see what the future holds for the show as well. So thank you, all of the listeners, all of the viewers as well. So let's go ahead and jump right into things here. So I already reported on the Rittenhouse trial and the verdict on that situation. But really, it's the reaction that has really kind of caught my attention based off of all of this. And I mean, liberals are just so upset that a person was able to literally have their right to self-defense upheld in court. They're so mad about that. And what you start seeing is that you see all of these different reactions from different people. And there's a few kind of notable ones that I think are really important in all of this, because really this is all about the left lying to you over and over again. Now, this is going to bite a lot of these people in the butt very soon, because defamation is a thing. That's something that you're going to probably see Rittenhouse start suing these people for. If you remember the Sandman, Nicholas Sandman situation, that's exactly what wound up taking place. And now that kid's a millionaire because of the media's lies. They are a publisher. That whole Section 230 that we, you know, are typically trying to talk about reforming and changing for social media. Well, at least in its current state, as a publisher like CNN or any of these sites, if they're literally pumping out false information, you can legitimately sue them because they're responsible for the things that are on their site, especially when it's aimed at a specific person and they're lying about them. But anyways, there's a bunch of these reactions that are very interesting so far. One of the ones I want to kind of highlight here is actually from, if you remember him, Bubba Wallace. So Bubba Wallace is the NASCAR driver that literally took the internet by storm by saying that he had a noose in his car garage door or something. It was like placed in his locker or some ridiculous thing like that. And of course, everybody that had any common sense knew that this is not real, okay? You didn't have to think that hard. You didn't even have to see the rest of the evidence to say, this doesn't make sense. How is this a hate crime? Nobody left a noose in this guy's locker. First of all, Bubba Wallace is mixed, so he's not even really black anyways. But let's check this out here. So the tweet that he had after the Rittenhouse verdict. So this is what he had to say. Ha, let the boy be black and it would have been life. He would have had life taken before this BS trial. And he said it's sad. So Bubba Wallace, here you go, the guy that's infamous for his news hoax, okay, is basically saying that if Kyle Rittenhouse was black, that this whole thing would have been different, that he would have gotten life in prison. And then he said that he would have had his life taken before the trial if he was black. What he negates to actually mention there is that, yeah, he probably would have had his life taken before he went to trial by another black person, because statistically, that's what you would actually have to worry about. Remember, the biggest threat to black men is black men. It doesn't matter how you feel about that. But this is a perfect example of how Bubba Wallace, along with all of these other Democrats, are being lied to by the media. They literally have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, this guy couldn't be more out of touch. You would think that the guy that literally got caught in the hate hoax, that if I recall correctly, they had him driving his car around or whatever, and all these people marching behind him in this act of solidarity when the whole thing was a hoax. It never happened. Things that literally didn't happen for 200. That's what took place there. And yet, this guy is the one that, of course, thinks that he needs to chime in on this. This would be just as ridiculous if Jussie Smollett decided that he needs to get his 2 cents in edgewise, his 2 words in edgewise, to actually tell people how he feels about it. The reality is, even Jussie Smollett is smart enough to know just to shut up, because you're not in a position to really start talking about racial issues about anything when your entire notoriety and career are defined by a hoax, a lie that was set up by you or someone else to basically play the victim, the thing that Democrats want to be so bad. So there's actually another clip here of this, of ESPN, actually. They're one of the ones that were talking about this whole trial. And if you're thinking, why would ESPN be talking about the Rittenhouse trial? Well, you're asking a very good question, because I was wondering the exact same thing. ESPN is a sports channel. They're not covering politics. So you would think, but because everything is about politics these days, they just can't help themselves but to say something in response to this entire trial. So here's the MSN panelists here. There's actually three of them here, this woman and two men that are black, whatever they are, and they're basically trying to, I guess, dole out their feelings on the entire situation, but they get all the details wrong. Here it is here.
Both former players, but we are all black people. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that we created some space for anything that we want to say here before we talk about basketball.
Well, I think that the scariest part about this, like, you know, so many people talk about not being surprised. And if you live in America, if you know the history of America, you're not surprised. I think the scariest part about this is that by saying that he is not guilty, they are saying that everything he did was lawful. And that's the part that worries me. Like, they were trying to not paint him. He was a kid that took a gun across state lines and went and did what he did. And they are saying that that is lawful. So to me, that just makes it, you know, even that more concerning that these acts are being proven that, like, hey, if this is what you want to do and you want to go into a crowd and you want to do this, then, you know, a judge and a jury can find you not guilty. And I think that just makes the tension in these situations even worse.
Park.
I mean, I'm just with all the other players. I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, what we have been going through, it's just mind-boggling to me, and it's very disturbing that, you know, it's not just a gun, right? We're talking about an AK, something that is very visible, that, you know, you have intents or whatever the case may be. And I just, to be honest, I really don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't want to lose my job, so I'm going to leave it at that.
I just want to say one thing. And I'm going to borrow it from MacArthur fellow Jacqueline Woodson. And she said, I'm heartbroken, but I'm not stunned. I'm angry, not irrational. I'm done, but not stopping. And that, to me, encapsulates so very well what so many people are feeling today.
Yeah, I've had enough of that. So you're done, but you're not stopping. What does that even mean? Okay, come on, guys. Like, these people are crying so hard over this stuff. And the second guy really gets me right there, because he's saying, you know what? Well, guys, what scares me about this case, the outcome of all of this, is that what they're basically saying is that what he did was lawful. And it's like, yeah, because what he did was lawful. Like, you don't have to like it. And by the way, they start this whole ridiculous panel off saying, we're all black people here, you know, as if this has anything to do with them. By the way, do they even know that the people that were shot in this situation were white, were also white convicted felons, that one of them has 11 counts of child molestation? Is that something that they even know about? Or are you really just so much into virtue signaling that you just are just parroting the regular points that you see that your masters have told you to say, or certain ways that the media has told you to feel, but you don't even know what you're talking about? They clearly don't know what they're talking about. It is lawful. You don't just show up in a crowd and start gunning people down. That would be what that black kid did, by the way, at that high school, showing up to school with a gun and shooting teachers and students and, you know, by the way, getting off with a way less bail than what Kyle Rittenhouse had to deal with. But that's something that the media won't want to talk about, because that kind of defeats the purpose of what they are there to do. So here's an actual video clip of a black guy that gets it, that understands that it's self-defense. You don't have to like the sides of what it is and what's happening, but self-defense is self-defense, and that is entirely lawful. Here's a clip of this guy talking about it.
Rittenhouse, not guilty. There's a lot of people mad right now, man. What I think about it, from the videos and stuff that I seen, the man was defending himself. I don't care nobody who get mad or none of that. See, the thing about, because it's my people that's keeping up all this chaos. We so f***ing black and proud to be black till we lose touch of what reality is. You can't lose touch of reality. It's right there in your face. Being black ain't never did nothing for nobody. Look what they did to Dolph. Another black man killed him. Three murders in my city last night. Black folks on black folks. So why do we get so freaking mad, bro? We always get mad and we don't get mad at the time when we really should be getting mad. Let somebody punch me. Let somebody try to take my gun like they did Rittenhouse. I'm gonna burn your ass too. I'm gonna burn your ass alive. I promise to God I am. The man ain't did nothing wrong but protect himself. I don't care who get mad. You can get in the comment section. I got people in my friends. They gonna get on your ass for me. I ain't even worrying about you. I go through there and read it, but they gonna get on your ass for me. Please believe that. You know, don't lose touch of reality, man, because you too proud to be, you got too much pride. You know what I'm saying? Reality and pride, they don't mount up to each other, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, if you mad about this verdict, go and look at the videos and put yourself in his shoes. You tell me what you would have done. Maybe that'll give you another outlook on why the jury made the decision that they made. People want to threaten the judge. You threaten the jury. You got bobblehead ass. What that dude, now, that preacher, man, I can't, somebody put his name in the comment. I can't even think. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The preacher look like a bobblehead. Don't come out until everything going wrong for the black people. Come on, man. Y'all be tripping, bro. Don't be too proud to be black to where you lose touch of reality, bro. Right is right and wrong is wrong.
And so, yeah, I mean, and this guy is absolutely spot on here with facts. Of course, the preacher is referring to, I'm assuming, is Al Sharpton, which basically just profits off of the black people that are too ignorant to know any better anyways. And what you have is people just being absolutely ignorant to the facts. What would you have done if you were in that exact same situation? That's the matter that you need to be looking at in there. You know, if you're a mother and your son's in that situation, regardless of how they got there and whatever else it is, every mother on planet Earth that cares at all about their son is going to say, use the gun. That's the way that this works. And oftentimes we're so busy trying to make everything political that we forget the realities that go into place with everything involved in it. So the leftists that are upset are making a ridiculous argument, trying to basically defend these people that are child molesters, people that you don't want to be defending, that are also white and not black at all. How look at how the media managed to turn this issue from a simple idea of a white kid defending himself against white people that were actually there trying to kill him, by the way, that also had guns as well. They don't want to mention that either. But how they turn that into an issue for black people? How they turn that into a racial issue? Just the media can do anything they want because there's enough people that are dumb enough to believe them, to go along with it. And everything that they've said is lies. The whole idea of him crossing state lines, a lie. All the rest is still, oh, he traveled so far. Well, the other guy, the Gage guy, or I forgot his last name, he traveled even further. I mean, the all the details that you would need to know as somebody that's trying to actually pay attention to things, completely omitted entirely. So you see this over and over and over and over again. MSNBC, by the way, I mean, they're going to get sued to oblivion. They were the exact same ones, by the way, that got kicked out of the courtroom because one of their journalists was following the jury buzz because they're trying to out the juries and the people that were there. Here's them literally calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist.
I find these people disgusting, Ellie. I'm disgusted at what I'm seeing. It's not just this trial, it's other trials. But this in particular, the fact that white supremacists roam the halls of Congress freely and celebrate this little murderous white supremacist, and the fact that he gets to walk the streets freely, it lets you know these people have access to instituting laws. They represent the legislative branch of this country. What are we to make of that?
Welcome to the modern Republican Party. This is what these people want. And this is what a majority of white people vote for. Right? When I say that a majority of white people are in favor of this kind of violence, it is because a majority of white people consistently vote Republican. Since the passage of the Civil Rights Act, a majority of white people have voted Republican, right? So, like, this is the party that they're supporting. A majority of white people pick judges like Bruce Schrader, the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. A majority of white people do not support policies that would unpack and unroll and reform this system of justice. This is what they want. Matt Gaetz is giving the white folks what they want. Look at it. Look at yourselves. It's gross. But until a majority of you stop voting for this, this will keep happening.
Now, somehow, once again, they managed to turn this whole thing and say that he's a white supremacist. What, because he shot white people? I'm really confused, folks. This is what we're talking about when I say that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. If you're white, if you're Christian, if you're male, whatever it is, they're going to just say that you're a white supremacist. It doesn't matter what it is. And all of this stuff about them saying, well, you know, it's really just the these white people that are voting for a Republican. They're in favor of this kind of violence. What do you mean this kind of violence? The fact is that it's in our Constitution. It's protected by law. And don't for a second let these idiots pretend as if black people haven't used self-defense that exact same way. Because there's plenty that have done it, okay? That have literally used self-defense and have gotten off based off of those things. There's plenty out there. All you had to do is a simple search to find it. But they don't want you. They're assuming you're not going to do that. They're assuming that you're just going to go along with what they're saying, even if it's a lie. And all of it's a lie. I'm old enough to still remember, even though I really wasn't involved in it, obviously, at the time, but I'm old enough to remember the O.J. Simpson trial, when the fact that this guy got completely off, even though there was overwhelming evidence showing that he was guilty. Everybody nowadays is literally saying O.J. Simpson's guilty, but what are they going to do about it now? The point is that don't sit here and pretend as if the justice system only favors white people and nobody else, and had he been black, it would have been something else. Come on. I mean, they really just expect you to be the dumbest person on earth that does literally no research, can't search for a simple thing like black people that got off of won cases in court based off of self-defense. They are assuming you're never going to look it up. Take their word for it. Let them lie to you. Let them feed you the information on a silver platter and assume that you're just too dumb to do anything else. That's where we're at right now. That's what's going on. Now, CNN, they're actually getting a little bit smarter. This whole time, by the way, CNN has been reporting lies about Kyle Rittenhouse. They were the ones talking about the crossing the state lines, the fact that he had the gun illegally. That's what they were saying. This whole, all of that stuff, they were the ones that were claiming all of these things in their news reports. Right after the verdict, all of a sudden, CNN changes its tone. I'm going to play this clip. Let me know if you hear something different about the way that they're reporting all of the details.
This jury saw fit. We learned a lot of things in this trial that we should sort of go over, and I was just kind of reviewing some of the things that we learned in the trial that were not necessarily public knowledge before that. One, there has been a lot of talk, especially by politicians, about where Rittenhouse was the night of this shooting. And it turned out he was already in Kenosha, that he had family here, including his father, that the gun was here in Kenosha. He did not bring that over state lines. It turned out during this trial that we learned that the gun that he had a hold of, he actually could legally possess, according to the judge and according to the law here, because of the measurements of the gun. Had it been shorter and a short-barreled gun, then it would have been illegal. But because it wasn't, the judge said that that needed to be thrown out. And indeed, that charge of a minor in possession of a gun illegally was thrown out in this case. The jury only looking at those who were injured, those who were endangered, and those who were killed the night in August that Rittenhouse ended up shooting people. We also learned that he was working here that night, that he had stayed over that night here. And we saw some video of, for example, Joseph Rosenbaum, the first person that he shot and killed. We saw drone video, high resolution drone video that did not come into this case until 5 days into this trial. And that is under contention. There was a mistrial requested because of both what the defense called prosecutorial overreach, and they said they were going to file about this video video that appeared very late in the game, the high resolution version of it. But now none of that matters. They're certainly not going to ask for a mistrial after their client has been acquitted in this case. But we did learn a lot of things from that video because it was very clear what was going on. There was a video of Rosenbaum chasing after Kyle Rittenhouse during this time when he had his gun. And at one point, Rittenhouse levels his gun at Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum continues towards him. And as he gets close to Kyle Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse fires his gun several times. We learned also in the trial that he was hit four times. And obviously, this is a AR-style rifle that has the capability of firing very quickly. But we have also learned that in this case, we saw one of the only person who was shot and did not die that night from Kyle Rittenhouse's gun. And we heard from Gage.
All right, so what you're seeing there, if you didn't know it was CNN and you're just listening to this on the audio, you might think that sounds like pretty decent objective reporting. But it isn't, because the fact is that they waited till the very end of the trial to begin reporting like this. And on the posted clip, the actual lady that's reporting there says, nobody put words in my mouth. I just reported on the facts of the situation. No, you waited till after the verdict to start trying to save face. And that's really what you're seeing here, is the media trying to cover their butts on the situation. They know exactly what they did this entire time. They're simply covering all of this up and saying, okay, well, let's all of a sudden start reporting on these facts here as if we just learned them in the trial. Notice how she said that over and over and over again, right? We learned in this trial. We learned in this trial. We learned in this trial. No, you knew this beforehand. You waited till the end of the trial to start actually trying to report on the facts. We knew this the day after it happened. Most of this stuff was out the week after the original shooting took place. All you needed to do was actually pay attention to the video that we had. Remember, this wasn't some guesswork. It's on video. They just waited till after the fact to simply start to bring in the facts and say, well, it turns out he was entirely within his legal right to do exactly what he did, to have the gun that he had, and everything. Huh. If only they reported that way this entire time leading up to the trial and during the trial. But they didn't do that. They lied to you. So that's how the media fixes and works all of this in. Now, there's actually a different story that's going on right now that's actually involving this new case in Waukesha. So this is a guy here, and many of you have probably already heard about this, but this is a guy that actually ran over several people in this Christmas Day parade. And this is a big deal, mainly because of the way that the media has been treating this. And this is all, remember, right after the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. So with all the knowledge of what took place during the Rittenhouse trial over the past month, now we're seeing this incident take place, okay? So basically, the report initially was that this guy had run through this crowd of people in a car at high speed through this parade, basically hitting participants in the entire process. Now, I'm going to play a clip of this here, and if you're watching this on the video, you can actually see this, but if you're watching on or listening on audio, you're basically just seeing the trumpet people, the band marching, and then boom, all of a sudden this lady screams, and you see this car literally run over some of the people that are there in the band and others. So this after this report had come out, now we had other clips here, as you can see as well, that I'm playing right now. You have other situations. Once again, a kid's like right there in the road, and you have this car just flying by at like 50 miles per hour in this very slow Christmas parade. So this is craziness that's going on right now that you're seeing even here. Once again, you've got kids out there, all of this stuff, and you've got this guy just flying through in this car. Look at the people running out of the way to dodge this guy, okay? So now, here's the thing. We were trying to figure out exactly who was this guy, where did this happen, why was this taking place, you know, what took place that caused this to actually happen. Well, come to find out, the guy that was involved in this situation actually wound up killing 5 people and injured more than 40 people in this actual attack. Now, this is really a domestic terrorist attack. And the reason why is because of the things that we've learned about this guy after the fact. As I mentioned, you're talking about this guy running through this parade, running over people, killing people in this whole entire process. That's what's going on. By the way, one of the people that he killed just came out a few hours ago, a girl, 11 years old, okay, wounded. So I think it's Jessalyn Torres. So she suffered a broken pelvis, lacerations to the lungs, remaining kidney, as well as internal bleeding as well. So 11-year-old girl basically with massive issues all because this guy was running through this crowd without a care in the world. Didn't care. Now, of course, I believe that it was motivated because of what we once again have learned after the fact. So let's check this out here. Now, Gateway Pundit and Twitter, of course, are always faster than the mainstream media typically, but typically they're not 10 hours faster, okay? So here's actually literal proof here that, first of all, by the Twitter, MSN, or Twitter and Gateway Pundit already had the name of this guy already ready to go, and it took the liberal media 10 hours to get this story out. Seriously, to get the name of this guy out. So this is the guy, black guy, which explains a lot, because that's exactly why the media didn't want to report on it, as they always do. So it was reported he was driving an SUV. You saw the red SUV there. And then following the attack, the local police scanner captured the name of the suspect who left his ID in his vehicle. Now, the media, by the way, like I said, so there's this big delay between the time that Twitter knows who this guy is, that other sites know who this guy is, and the mainstream media decided to finally tell you, because they're, of course, trying to conjure up some story to cover it all up, but we have to live with that fact. So we know that this guy was black. We know what he was actually doing there. So it actually come to find out, we were actually looking into more of this guy's history and everything. And apparently this guy was a BLM supporter. There was actually several different things that he had listed on his site. So he had several rap songs, whatever this guy's name was, like Math something, some kind of rapper name. But he had rapped about F Donald Trump, F pigs, cops, you know, that kind of stuff. There was BLM support stuff on his page. There was even reports or tweets from him last year talking about the fact that he's going to come after some white people at some point. And this is, I'm assuming, was after the whole George Floyd situation. So there's a lot of stuff. As you can see, this stuff like wire Kanye's jaw shut again instead of a MAGA hat. I mean, there's all of this stuff that this guy's putting out there right now. And you're seeing the difference. You're seeing what's actually taking place. This is the guy that was there. Now, the media actually ran this story initially by saying that he was running away from some type of other incident. They said it was some knife fight or something, and as a result, he was driving fast to get away from said incident. But the Waukesha Police Department actually confirmed that there was no pursuit that led up to this incident. So, hello, that basically tells you right there that this guy did this on purpose. This was no accident. He was not fleeing some knife fight. But by the way, the mainstream media was running with this story without checking with anybody. I mean, it was almost like somebody was somewhere in the mainstream media basically just conjuring up whatever they possibly could to make it seem like he had an excuse to do what he did. To try and make it seem as if it was this harmless act, even though he killed 5 people, injured 40, more than 40. They were trying to cover this up the entire step of the way. But anyone with common sense would know that if you're a good journalist, you're going to do your research, you're going to actually talk to people to see what was going on. You shouldn't have the mainstream media coming out strong on a certain position just to have the literal police chief basically debunk your entire story within a day. I mean, it's crazy how that works. So you have Daily Wire reporting here, but they're saying in the aftermath of the incident, some media outlets focused on reporting that the suspect who had been charged with 5 murders had been fleeing another crime scene when his SUV had hit the participants there. And then the law enforcement official who spoke in the condition of anonymity to discuss the initial stages of the investigation told the Washington Post that investigators have not found anything tying the parade incident to terrorism or ideology, is what they're saying. Now, that's what they're saying. But the fact is, once again, this guy had BLM stuff posted all over the place. We've got several tweets and everything else saying that he was trying or looking at killing white people or was going to hurt white people in some way. We saw this take place, okay? So to me, the thing is that, keep in mind, they don't consider anything BLM does as terrorism. They didn't consider what they did last year terrorism. What they've done to literally destroy our cities as terrorism. They don't think about that at all that way, even though it is. I mean, BLM is a domestic terrorist organization, but you mention white supremacy and then all of a sudden you have the FBI basically going out of their way to do something about it. It's really crazy how that works, considering the fact that the real tangible stuff that you're seeing here is black privilege. I mean, I was posting about this on Gap. That's what's happening here, really. So much of the stuff they want to put focus on, oh, white privilege is what got Kyle Rittenhouse out of or from being convicted in the trial. No. What it was is the right to self-defense. It's the Constitution that saved him, okay? That's what was upheld. It was not only his right to self-defense, but your right to self-defense and my right to self-defense. What this guy's doing here, keep in mind, he wasn't shot after they arrested him. They peacefully arrested him, and he went to jail. He wasn't shot dead. I don't know what to tell you. To me, this seems like something that's very white or very black privileged, because only a black person could possibly get away with basically them saying, oh, it's not a terrorist act, but you know if this person was white, it wouldn't be that way, of course. Because they claim everything is happening terrorist-wise because of white supremacy, even though they have nothing to back it up. So that's basically what's going on with this story so far. So now we know that he's also been charged with 5 counts of intentional homicide, because everything that led up to this would show that this was on purpose. There was nothing that shows that this was an accident. Like I said, the mere fact that he wasn't fleeing an incident before, that they have nothing showing that to be true, shows us and tells us that this clearly was not an accident. He did this on purpose to hurt white people. That's why it was done. This is what's happening right now. You have these radicalized people. Now, how much do you bet that maybe this guy was a bit upset about the whole Kyle Rittenhouse case? How much do you want to bet that that was the case, folks? I don't care whether the FBI or police department don't want to consider it as a terrorist threat. It is that. It's exactly that. And the mainstream media, I think, are responsible for this guy being radicalized to doing this because of the fact that they, like Joy Reid and others, have basically been have lied to their audiences, telling them that for some reason Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist when that's just not true. And now you have these people making these acts towards this. Now, there's also another portion of this story as well as to why this took place. This guy was actually released out of prison. I don't have the exact timeline on me, but he was actually released out of prison, I think, after about a year on a like really low cash bail situation. And so he had a bunch of different previous charges, but he was let out of jail early due to the low cash bond that he paid, and he was out and back on the streets within no time. So you've got a guy with a record that goes to jail, gets arrested for said record, and then all of a sudden, boom, low cash bail, and he's out of jail. The reason why this happened is because of prison reform enacted by Democrats. This Waukesha area is very Democrat run. This is a failure of Democrat policies. These people that are trying to get these criminals out of prison faster because they feel like they're not doing anything wrong, and then boom, within literally days of being released from prison, this guy does this. I mean, you can't tell me that this didn't have anything to do with a culmination of bad liberal tendencies. Not only them letting criminals out of jail that didn't need to be let out of jail, but also them being radicalized by the mainstream media, telling them that whatever happened in with Kyle Rittenhouse was somehow some attack on black people, even though it had nothing to do with black people at all. It's really crazy how that works. So we just have to make sure that we are aware of what's going on. That's why this story is important. Because the mainstream media, by the way, have already stopped talking about this report. They're not going to talk, but on Wednesday, by Wednesday, you won't hear anything about what took place here. But you couldn't stop from hearing about Kyle Rittenhouse at the time, even when he was let off. So really, this is a story of the media's manipulation, how they lie to you, how they lie to me and everyone else, and how they can radicalize people as well to doing things that are ultimately their fault. I think that the media at some point, these journalists, these people like this, need to be held accountable and responsible for them basically charging people to do things that are all based off of fake news, all based off of their lies. Their lies killed these people. Democrat bad policy and prison reform killed those people. And this guy killed these people, obviously. But it's all these things that allowed him to do that. That had he been in a Republican state that actually made sure that criminals that commit crime stay in prison are not allowed right back on the street, this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened at all. And so that's what you're seeing here. So a bit of a different story. There's many of you remember Ghislaine Maxwell. She's the lady that was basically the kind of ringleader in the entire Epstein situation with the child trafficking that they were doing on Epstein Island. So she was arrested a while ago. If you remember, like after Jeffrey Epstein died, apparently, or whatever, there was they were trying to track her down and they couldn't find her. And then they finally found her and arrested her. So now apparently her entire case is open. They're going to start to go through the process of all of this. Now, the mainstream media have not talked anything about this and not said anything about it, probably because they don't want to deal with any of the stuff dealing with Jeffrey Epstein or anything like that. But remember, she was the groomer, the person that basically was leading the girls in, recruiting the girls to be at that island at that time for Jeffrey Epstein. So basically, this is a case that is starting up right very soon. So the jury selection is underway. Opening arguments are scheduled for the end of this month on November 29th. So this will be something I'm very curious to see exactly what happens here. Now, she's pleaded not guilty to 6 counts of sex trafficking and other crimes. But I want to see what happens because really, this isn't just going to be a case about her. This is going to be a case about Jeffrey Epstein. It's going to be a case about other Democrats that are involved in this. I'm very curious to see where this case goes because this has much farther reaching implications than just her. There were obviously other high paying people that were there, like that were on those flight logs that nobody wants to talk about. People in Hollywood, politicians, you name it. They don't want to talk about those people, but they were there too. So I'm very curious to see exactly what comes out of that. And I'll make sure I keep you guys updated on that as well. So Dr. Fauci just recently actually made a statement as well. He's talking about the fully vaccinated terminology. And I've already have kind of alluded to this idea by saying that, you know, saying fully vaccinated really means nothing right now because it's just an ongoing thing. You know, fully vaccinated with what? When there's a million different boosters out there, how is that fully vaccinated? What does that even mean anymore, really, right? So actually, Fauci's basically kind of taking a page out of that and saying that he's going to change the definition of fully vaccinated to include booster shots. So more like, you know, your phone when it updates and you have to update it every, I don't know, couple of weeks or maybe every month or something like that. Well, they're just trying to make sure you have the most up-to-date vaccine. That's what's going to be fully vaccinated. That's what they're changing the definition to, that you have the newest update effectively towards all of this. And this is, of course, just an opportunity for them to basically say, let's go ahead and start normalizing the fact that this stuff will never end. It'll never be over. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be not long from now. I mean, we're already starting to see this, but every 6 months, you're going to be talking about having another booster shot for the rest of your life. It's never going to end until people decide that it needs to end. If enough people stand up and say, no, I'm not doing this, then it stops immediately. Because most of these people are only doing this because they assume you're going to go along with it. So denying them and kind of just defying them and doing your own thing, that's what really kind of speaks to all of this. So we'll see where this goes. But once again, this is them trying to already set the foundation, pave the way for them to basically be like, you know what, do your own thing, you know, but we're going to go ahead and change the definition to mean that you are locked in for life with these vaccines, that once you take them once, you're not done. You can lose your fully vaccinated status, right? And it's going to continue over and over and over again for 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, all the way down the line for years to come. It'll never end. So on a bit of a side story here, you actually have Joe Biden being a creep as usual. So here's a clip of him. Actually, he was in this crowd. There's this lady holding her young daughter. Okay. And Joe Biden starts being creepy Joe Biden again, because of course he can't help himself. So here's the clip here of this happening. And I'll kind of just kind of guide you as far as what's actually taking place here. But so you see Biden kind of walk up to this girl, and then you see him kind of reach down, and then he starts touching her, literally touching her face, right? Like trying to touch her face. And look, the girl like puts up her arm, knocks him away, kind of pushes him away, right? So this is Biden right there being a creep. I mean, we've seen this so many times over and over again. And it continues to happen. Why these parents keep letting this creepy dude keep getting up in their child's face, I don't understand. Why has nobody told Biden, hey man, stop touching kids that you don't know? Or even if you know them, stop touching kids, dude. It looks bad. He still does it over and over again. There's something going on there, I'm telling you. It's just really awkward that keeps happening over and over and over again. It's like he cannot keep his head or his hands or his head or face out of their face and his hands off of them. It's really, really, really creepy. Speaking of Biden, everybody has been, of course, affected by the gas prices that have gone up like crazy, obviously due to inflation. And Biden's been trying to figure out whatever it is that he can do to try and fix that situation as much as he can. And of course, he's having trouble doing that, especially when you have people that are putting the stickers on the pumps, basically saying, I did that, because that is exactly what it is. So Biden is actually trying to fix these situations now with the high gas prices by basically tapping into the oil reserves for 50 million barrels to try and get the gas prices down. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here. That is why it's not going to work so well. But what he's basically saying, and this is from the administration, saying that the move is aimed to, at global energy markets, but also at U.S. voters who are coping with higher inflation and rising prices ahead of Thanksgiving and winter holiday travel. But once again, this will not have an immediate effect, of course. The government will not move the barrels into the market until mid to late December, and not all the oil will hit the market. So Biden said that 32 million barrels will eventually be returned to the SPR, with the other 18 million authorized for sale by Congress. So basically, what they're trying to do is bring down the gas prices by using the gas that's already there instead of having to buy it. But the thing is that this isn't a good idea. Now, let's go ahead and I'll go on with this article here. So what it's saying here is that the White House said China, India, Japan, South Korea, and the United Kingdom will also tap into their petroleum reserves as part of the coordinated effort. This weeks after consultations with countries around the world, and we already are seeing the effect of this work on oil prices. Over the last several weeks, as reports of this work became public, oil prices are down nearly 10%, according to the White House. Now, the thing is that this is not a good idea, and the reason why is because I remember when we used to be energy independent. If you remember, that was what Trump was kind of touting for the longest period of time, is the fact that we actually did not have to have our prices determined by what the world is doing. But yet you see them in this coordinated effort trying to get these prices down by tapping into these oil reserves. But it isn't going to make that big of a difference, I really don't think. And the reason why is all we need to do is look at exactly how much oil the United States uses every single day, which is actually a lot. So the United States actually uses, let me pull up the exact number here. I'm pretty sure it's close to about 20 million barrels, but I'm just trying to get the exact amount. Yeah, so the United States actually uses 18 million barrels per day, okay? So him talking about trying to bring in, even if he manages to bring in 50, and they're already saying that they won't be able to bring in all 50, but even if he managed to bring in all 50 of these barrels, that's going to wind up equating to, what, less than 3 days of gas for the United States. Not a lot, okay? And probably even less than that, because this thing is going to hit in mid-December. Okay, well, that's really close to Christmas when a lot of people are traveling. So what they're trying to do with this, I don't really understand. I don't understand. At this point, you would think that Democrats would realize that Biden has failed to do everything he said he was going to do. Everything. The gas prices, I mean, just inflation with food and everything else. Why is it that the economy is gotten terrible when we look at inflation? It's gotten insane and out of control. And all the Democrats are saying, don't worry about it. Just keep on paying. Just keep on dealing with it. It isn't right. This is not the way that the economy should be run. I think we just have to look at another situation where people are basically saying, look, you know, bring Trump back. I mean, this is not good. It was way better a year or two ago, and now it's gotten so bad. What happened? Biden happened. We knew this was going to happen. Trump said it at the debates. He said it beforehand. Every one of us predicted it and said what was going to happen. And here you have it now, where Democrats are having to deal with these prices, and they won't say anything about it. They feel like, oh, but it's not really Biden's fault, though. It's not really Biden's fault, though. That's what you see a lot of the people on Twitter say. Guys, it's real easy to sit there and say it's not somebody's fault when it's not their fault or whatever it is. But clearly, they're only doing this because they're trying to cover for the fact that Biden has messed this economy up. It's clear as day what's happening over and over again. These gas prices should not be this high. These efforts to try and make it work aren't going to work. I mean, remember, Biden was shutting down these pipelines to probably appease the Green New Deal Democrats that are in their party. He doesn't care about these stupid prices. It was never about these prices. It's always about doing whatever it is that they tell him to do, because Biden's not even really the one running the show. I think he's just a guy standing in for the radical leftists that want all of these crazy policies implemented into every facet of society. It's not healthy for this country, and it doesn't help anybody. So this is a pretty crazy report here, and it's actually dealing with George Floyd. So, well, more specifically, this Catholic university that actually features a painting of him, as George Floyd, basically standing in for Jesus. That's basically what they're doing here. Now, this is extremely, extremely creepy and really weird. But so this is the Catholic University of America. Now, I think a lot of these religious schools, some of them, especially the really big ones, have turned pretty liberal. So this is kind of not very surprising to me, but basically what they were doing is they were having George Floyd depicted as Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing here. And you actually, so the Daily Signal is the one that actually was reporting on this, found that the artist Kelly Lattimore's painting, Mama, shows the Virgin Mary supporting the body of the dead Christ, but did not acknowledge in the painting that that Christ was actually George Floyd that they were subbing him in for. So really, really weird that they would do something like this. But I think this is a part of these people that are these extreme kind of like woke liberals that are a part of this progressive Christianity, progressive Catholicism, or whatever you call it for them. I'm not sure, but you have them doing this. And the problem is that obviously it's ridiculous and insane to even remotely pretend as if George Floyd was sinless, was some perfect human being. I mean, he wasn't even a good citizen by just normal standards, you know, and pretending as if, you know, he was on some cross or something. It's insane. And I've said this before, I've alluded to it, but now we really have them pointing directly to that. I've already said, well, you know, a lot of these people literally see George Floyd as a martyr, as the sacrificial lamb on which they must rest their laurels. And that's not true, obviously, but now we have straight up proof that some people are viewing him that way, and as surprisingly as possible at a Catholic school. Be careful of this stuff, because I'm telling you right now, these aren't the only ones that are doing this. There has to be other people that probably view George Floyd as this martyr, as him as a sacrifice to BLM or whatever you want to call it, for social justice or whatever. I'm telling you, like, just be very vigilant to this, no matter where you're at. Even in the places that you may not think would have it, like a Catholic or a Christian school or something like that, just be on the lookout, because this is insane. This is insane that this is allowed, that they're trying to do that. It's blasphemy. It's just absolutely insane that this is even crossing the minds of these people, that it's even something that they would even consider at all. And the fact is that this is, I think, the future for a lot of these schools, unfortunately, especially these private Christian Catholic schools. Some of these are very progressive. They want to add that stuff in there. They think that George Floyd is this universally loved person, and they're more than willing to literally use him to replace Jesus. That's what they're trying to do. And George Floyd won't be the last one. I'm sure that whatever other black person winds up getting killed for whatever reason, it's their own fault, that the media and the Democrats choose to try and cover it up and make it seem as if they were this perfect spotless lamb or something, you know, that they're going to use that person as the new stand-in. That's what is taking place here. You see them do this all the time, and we know that that's not exactly the way things should be at all. So Goya Foods, if you remember I don't know if it was last year, I think it was a couple of years ago, they were under attack by the liberal cancellation mob because of what the CEO was doing. He was actually just meeting with Trump and basically had some fairly just respectable words. I mean, it didn't sound like he was kind of praising Trump at all, but he was just simply just saying, hey, this is the president of the United States and he's doing a decent job, so hey, cool, you know, and people unloaded on him. And of course, that basically made all the conservatives, including myself, buy a bunch of Goya stuff. I still buy a bunch of Goya things because this guy seems to at least be aware of what's going on in our country and understanding what's happening. So he was actually asked in this interview, basically about the status of the country and as it pertains to businesses and private businesses and how that's basically working. So basically what's going on is that he said in an interview that his firm is experiencing an unfair competitive advantages with big government from one year to the next. He said, last year with COVID, we were working and we were a capitalist society, explained. When the government stepped in and started printing money and giving it out and telling people you don't need a reason to get up in the morning. And then, so what he's basically pointing out is that we kind of turned into like a weird socialist kind of country. But one where the government holds the power of the dollar and basically dictates the value in everything simply because they are the ones that can print it and give it away for free. No strings attached. That's basically what's going on. So He noted that Goya's wages have actually risen by 70%, while the cost of shipping some goods have increased more than tenfold because, you know, there's different types of inflation taking place all over the place. So he went on to say, "We are heading for hard times. We are dismantling this country. We're getting soft. We have the government as our biggest competitor. Government needs to get out of the way and let us work." I mean, this guy really is, it sounds like, a conservative. He sounds like somebody that's not in favor of government basically mandating and controlling everything. Because really what he's saying is that we have the government as our biggest competitor. What he said is, what he's basically saying is that because the government is getting in the way of private business, that it makes it harder for their business to strive. It's almost like Trump came in to specifically deregulate the government and allow for businesses to prosper and do their thing. Whereas Biden is doing the exact opposite by telling them that they must mandate this or mandate that, and that they must pay this and pay that. And you're wondering, well, who's really working against who? Is it your other company's competitor that makes a similar product to you? Or really, is it the government that's literally competing directly against your own interest, right? That's what he's realizing. That's what he's recognizing. And he's absolutely spot on with this, because this kind of stuff does not work. And this guy gets it. Once again, Goya, great guy, great brand, because he understands what is needing to happen. He also went on to say in his final comment, "Inflation is here to stay, at least for a good while, and everybody has these costs." And he's just pointing out that it's across the board. Everybody's dealing with this stuff. And he seems to recognize that this is a Biden issue. This is a Democrat problem, that these things would not be going on if Trump was still in the White House. So he gets it completely. So on another story here, this has been something that's actually quite interesting to report on, because really what you're talking about is the COVID deaths. So it's actually reported, and this is a report coming from Johns Hopkins University. So the 2021 COVID deaths have actually surpassed the ones of 2020. So let me break this down for you for a second, because there's some extra details that kind of go along with this. The point of all of this, really, this actual report, is the fact that the COVID deaths now are not dealing specifically with the unvaccinated, as they so righteously tried to claim just a few months ago. Really, all of this stuff is actually the fault of people that are actually vaccinated, believe it or not. So there's actually a this report chart that I have here that's showing the statistics of COVID deaths between November 1st and November 18th. So last year, November 1st to the 18th, 20,484 people died of COVID. This year, same dates, November 1st to the 18th, 21,749 died from COVID. So back in 2020, 0% were vaccinated, because of course, nobody was vaccinated at that point in time. It wasn't available. Now, 69%, so basically 70% of people are vaccinated, and those are the ones that died. So 70% of people that are dying of COVID right now, on average, have been vaccinated, probably with the booster and everything else. Guys, I'm telling you, why are we mandating things that are not helping? Is anyone looking at these numbers? This is really why I'm so against the mandates. It's not just a principle thing. It's not just an ethical thing. And of course, it's important to have those reasons too. But it's also just a statistical thing. The Democrats say they're the party of science. Just look at the science, guys. Look at the science. No, they don't care about science. They care about whatever fits their narrative at any given point in time. They will absolutely lie to your face to get along with things. I remember last year when they had the COVID death counter sitting at the bottom of the screen on CNN for basically every program, 24 hours a day. Now you don't see it anymore. I'm pretty positive most people don't even know how many people have actually died from COVID throughout this entire time, because the media is just not telling you, and people are too just unaware to look. Because CNN's not throwing it in your face and blaming Biden for every single life that was lost. More people are dying now than before, and you don't see the same vitriol you saw for Trump last year, do you? You don't see the media blaming Biden for this, do you? You don't see them saying that he's messing all this up, do you? It's not happening because they lied about this entire situation. They lied about it last year under Trump. They knew it wasn't Trump's fault. They just needed to get him out of the White House. Then, when that actually happens, look at where we are today. Worse off than we were last year, as far as COVID's concerned. Funny how that works. Real funny how that works. And of course, this isn't a good thing, But it's just to point out that there's no reason why the government needs to be mandating anything like this when 70% of the people that are dying have had the vaccine. It's almost like it's useless to mandate it, guys. That's why people need to be suing this administration so that we can get these, not have to worry about this stuff. It's insane how much you hear about these people claiming like the facts are on their side. The facts were never on their side. They literally never were. Now it's really the pandemic of the vaccinated. The exact opposite of what they were telling you just a few months ago. It's absolutely insane what you see them doing. It really is. And that's what bothers me the most about all of this. So last but not least, just have a Liberals of TikTok video for you. So this liberal of TikTok is actually somebody that's basically, is this woman that has, I mean, she basically shaved off half her head for basically no reason, okay? I don't know. But although she can shave her head, she has a problem shaving some other parts of her body. So check this one out.
So I have this thing, call it a little quirk, if you will. I have hair in my armpit. I have it there for a few reasons. One, lazy. Two, the patriarchy. And three, your response to them tells me everything I need to know about you.
Yeah, and your situation tells me everything I need to know about you. And I'm perfectly fine. You, if you understand and view me as a person that is, you know, harboring common sense, that has the ability to understand that you are crazy and out of your mind, sure, I'm fine with that. If that's what it's telling you, I am perfectly fine with that. This is absolute lunacy. There was another TikTok of the same person where she's basically shaving off half her head, singing some weird song about being a rat. I don't know what's happening. I can tell you right now that 90% of these people that are probably doing these videos, including this this lady, is probably like some type of weird theater student or something. I am, as an art student myself in high school, trust me, like a lot of these weird people do some weird, weird, weird things. And this is basically what's going on. What you have them doing is just acting out for attention. I think that's really what this is. People that didn't get attention as a child, and then they go out of their way to try and get it as an adult by shaving half of their head, by making people look at them because they feel like that's their job. So they sit there and they grow out their armpit hair and they think that for some reason they're being liberalized or freed from the patriarchy or whatever they want to call it. But the fact is that they just simply wind up being people that regret their decisions just a few years down the road because of stuff just like this. These people are out of their minds. They have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm blown away that they can consistently keep ending up in situations like this where we have them literally shaving certain parts, but leaving other parts not shaved. And they're free from all of the patriarchal things and whatever they want to call it. But the reality is, once again, it's about attention to me. That's what I see here in this video. I see somebody crying out for attention, really wanting people to pay attention to them, to praise them, to just to go along with this, to say, you go, you know, brave, beautiful, all that stuff. But it's just a lie. It's a lie sold to them by modern day feminists, making them think that for some reason, by them not shaving their armpit hair, that all of a sudden that's somehow making them better in some way or making them a stronger woman in somehow. That's not what this is about. It never has been. These people wind up single, 40 years old, wondering why they wasted all the years of their life believing what the feminists told them. And then believe it or not, they end up in these situations just like this. So that's my prediction for the future of this person, because clearly they have some mental things they need to get out, obviously. So we'll see where that goes. But with that being said, once again, I thank you for watching or listening to the episode. Once again, thank you for supporting me, allowing me to get to 100 episodes as well. If you're not already, follow me on Gab, on Getter as well. I'm on there as well as many other platforms that I'm on as well. So just make sure that you check those out. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please remember to leave a review as it does help the show out as well. But with that being said, that's all I have for you on this show. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving as well. And I will see you on the next one.